Good morning. Ian, could you bring up the first slide? Thank you. In the news this week of two powerful people in disagreement, and this is from the front cover of the magazine Private Eye. It says the words, "You'd be crazy if you want to leave the union." And you see, it's a play on words because one of them doesn't want to be in the union of the United Kingdom. The other one doesn't want to be in the union of Europe, the European Union. And we know it's such a divisive issue. This is not a political sermon. It's just a reality that in our society today, there's deep divisions. 52% vote to leave the European Union. 48% want to stay. And that's a pretty close vote. 55% vote to stay within the United Kingdom, 45% want to leave the United Kingdom. And how are these two groups of people going to get on? You know, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the best news for people that are in conflict. The good news of Jesus Christ is one of grace, is one of extending to the other generosity and love to people who don't deserve it. The good news of Jesus Christ is about humility. It's about prepared to say, I'm wrong. I got it wrong. And I'm willing to change my mind. But all too often, our lives are not like that. We hate to say the words, I am wrong. We hate to say, I am sorry. And we'd rather pridefully plow on irregardless. That can happen in society. That can happen in the workplace. That can happen in the family. That can happen in the church. That can happen in the most intimate of relationships. But the good news of Jesus Christ is that he sent his son to die for us, for our worst things, the worst things that we've done. He came and he gave himself, not because we deserved it, but because he loves us. And he wants to bring us back into unity with himself. And he wants to bring us back into unity with one another. And as we put our trust in what he has done for us on the cross, we become new people. And we are then channels of his love, his grace, his peace. As the old hymn says, make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. It all gets very painful when it comes down to the closest of relationships, and there is pride, a refusal to recognize the point of view of the other, a refusal to listen, a plowing on which leads to anger and bitterness and separation. And what will break the cycle is grace. Grace which we cannot find within ourselves, grace which we have to receive from God. Because God himself is the one who can give us it. Sometimes we go to a counselor. They just tell us what we're already thinking. They help us to think through. But if the only resources we have are our own resources, there is no hope. But when we have God in our lives, there is great hope. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. You see, it gets into the church as well. Writing to the church in Ephesus, they were asked to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there's the clue, folks. Unity comes from God's Spirit. And the message today is about how we can live by the Spirit and see the put our roots deep into God's grace and see the fruitfulness of our lives grow. Fruitfulness which will be seen visibly in our relationships. You cannot be a godly person and have a catalogue of bad relationships. Because we are called to love one another and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the evidence of our love for God is seen in our love for others. The evidence that we have tasted and put our reliance upon the grace of God is seen in the amount of grace that we show to other people. And this passage, which is quite deep at times, gives us real wisdom for how our lives truly are. Sometimes we're never really aware of the things inside us which drive us. If we have an anger problem and we find ourselves always getting angry, perhaps we've never understood why that was the case. If we have an issue with not forgiving people, perhaps we've never understood why that was the case. It's just the way it is. But this word from God this morning reveals to us why we are the way we are. Why we are how we are, even after we've decided to follow Jesus. But if you're not a follower of Jesus here this morning, this is still very relevant, because the Spirit of God is simply the presence of God on earth. The presence of God that comes into our lives and changes everything. That's why this caterpillar this morning is such a good illustration. Because what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit brings transformation to our lives. And I want to ask you this morning, what do you want God to do for you today? What do you want God to change today? In this word, from God's word, it's about recognizing that there is a conflict going on. It's about remembering who we are. It's about realizing the calling that God's given us to live by the Spirit. It's about responding to the Spirit's promptings. And it's about reaping a life of love, joy, and peace. What is this conflict? Well, when somebody becomes a Christian, something happens pretty soon. Maybe you're here today and you've become a Christian relatively recently. Maybe it was a few months ago. Maybe it was a year ago. And I know some of you who are in that situation. And there was that day when you were really surprised when it started to get really difficult. You were really surprised when it was as if everything was just going so well and you just hit this brick wall. And you probably said to me, or you said to another Christian friend, I'm sinking here. I'm not sure if I can go on. Because you didn't realize that there was an opposing force. What is that opposing force? Well, the Bible calls it the sinful nature, what we just read. We can also call it the flesh. It doesn't really matter whether you call it the flesh or the sinful nature, but there's, depending on what translation you're reading, it'll come out in two different ways. I'm going to call it the flesh today, okay? Because it's one word rather than two. That's not about the flesh as in our body. It's actually speaking about what drives us deep down. You see, when a baby is born, everything is so perfect. And then a few months, a few years later, the child starts to be rebellious. The little cute baby is now doing naughty things. And where did they learn that from? You say, well, they didn't learn that from me. Maybe they did, but we wouldn't admit it. But it was like inbuilt. There was an inbuilt disobedience. And the Bible tells us that since Adam and Since Adam and Eve first sinned in the Garden of Eden, there's consequences for the rest of the human race. There's an inbuilt, like a little microchip inside that says, rebel, disobey all orders. But when we become Christians, that rebellious nature is trumped by a new nature. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, makes us a new creation. And our hearts are then filled with God's desires and not our desires to be rebellious, to be selfish. But you and I know that that's a lifelong process which will not be resolved until the day when we meet Jesus Christ. And until then, we need to know that inside us there is this conflict going on all the time between the spirit and the flesh. But the good news is that because Jesus rose from the dead, which is a very, very, very unrepeatable thing in this life, you know, that God would raise the dead in Jesus Christ. Now, you sometimes hear stories of that happening today, but it's very rare. But it's really powerful to bring a dead person back to life. And that same power which raised Jesus from the dead is living in you as a Christian. So nothing should be defeating you today. If it's a problem with anger, then God is powerful to change you. But the question is, are you willing to come to him and be changed? Let's look at what the scripture says. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Have you been in that situation? You say, today is going to be a better day. I've confessed my sin. I've been forgiven. I'm not going to do that again. And then a couple of hours later, you find yourself doing it again, and you're going, why? Why do I keep doing that? I didn't want to do that. How do I break that cycle? I sin, I confess, I'm forgiven. I sin again, I confess, I'm forgiven. I sin again. You see, it's because of this opposite drive within us. To be a Christian is a little bit like being a recovering addict. If you've ever been to the Alcoholics Anonymous, or you've got a friend who is in the Alcoholics Anonymous, the first thing that strikes you about that meeting is humility. They don't say, I'm completely cured. They say, I am recovering. I'm still recovering. They say that I need to depend on the higher power to help me to live drink-free. Without the help of the higher power, I cannot do it. Without being willing to change and to say sorry for the people that we've hurt, we can't make progress. And unless we're willing to help other addicts, then there will not be any encouragement. It's a very Christian program, the 10-12-step program. And the question for me and for you today is, what has God delivered us from when we became Christians? But it's still there. Maybe not in the same power as it was once before, but it's still there. And we have a tendency to slip back. Are we relying on the higher power, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ? What's driving you? Is it the Spirit? Or is it your own personality, your own, the way you are? This is the great encouragement, is if we know who we are, it makes all the difference. You see, there's not only the inbuilt weaknesses that we were born with, the flesh, there's also a devil, there's a personal devil condemning us and tempting us all the time. And there's a culture that's going in the opposite way. We call it the world, the flesh, and the devil. But the way to withstand the temptations is to know who we are. Jesus Christ, when he was in the wilderness, the devil, every time he tempted him with these words, "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God." That's how he started his temptation. And when the devil comes to tempt us today, he begins by saying, "If you are a Christian, or if you were a good Christian, or if you were a real Christian, or if you were a proper Christian, you wouldn't do that." Has that happened to you? Because the attack will come from your identity. Maybe it's a ministry that you're involved in. Maybe you're doing something for God, and the thought comes, you shouldn't be doing this. Because we all know what you're like. We all know your failures. We all know where you've messed up. Maybe you should just quit. Maybe you should just give up. That's the way the devil works. But when we know who we are, if we know that when Jesus died on the cross, he died on the cross because he completely values us. He values us much more than we value ourselves. We might not have a high view of ourselves. We might look in the mirror in the morning and say, "Well, I'm not very good." But Jesus Christ values us so much that he gave his life on the cross for us. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he values us. That's how much he believes in us. He believes that we can live a beautiful life. He believes that we can do even greater things. Amazingly, that's what he said to the disciples. "You will do even greater things than these." So Jesus is not only our coach, he's our cheerleader. And he says, "Remember who you are. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. Don't slip back into fear. Don't slip back into condemning thoughts. You have been powerfully changed. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You have been given a new nature. You are not controlled by the devil. You are not controlled by your weaknesses. You are not controlled by the crowd and what your peer group at work or at school or even within the family would say to you. There's perhaps people here today that want to follow Jesus, but there's someone in your life who's saying, "No, don't do it. If you don't do it, I won't be your friend anymore." Well, Jesus Christ's friendship is even more important than that friendship because it's forever. So we recognize that we're in a conflict. We remember our status as sons and daughters of God, and we realize our calling. You see, we are called to live free in love, set free from guilt, set free from condemnation, set free to love others. No longer fearfully living under the yoke of slavery. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm under temptation. Stand firm in an acknowledgement of the battle. Stand firm in an acknowledgement that the peer group might be totally against you. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Choose daily to live by the Holy Spirit. So we get up in the morning. If you're a morning person, you'll leap out of bed and you'll start your prayer straight away. If you're not a morning person, you might need a good cup of coffee. You might need a shower. However you do it, start the day with a prayer of commitment. Start the day something like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me so much to die for me. I offer the day to you. I offer you my mind. I offer you my hands, my feet, my mouth, my ears. Help me to live for you today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me today. I choose in moments of temptation to choose to go your way. I choose in moments of doubt when I do not understand. I choose to trust you. To live by the Holy Spirit is not a nice warm feeling. It's not what it's all about. Not to say that feelings are not important, but we don't rely on them. To live by the Spirit is not a license to do whatever we want. To live by the Spirit is not obeying the rules like a slave. Living by the Spirit is about walking by God's grace. What is God's grace? God's grace is His gift to us. God's grace is His generosity to us, even though we didn't deserve it. God's grace, God's riches poured out on our lives, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's, to live by the Spirit is to live by God's grace. We can talk about God's grace, and as Protestant Christians, we talk about God's grace all the time. We live by grace. We're saved through faith by grace. But grace is not an impersonal word. Grace is a person. It's God Himself, and He comes to us in His generosity, even though we don't deserve it, by His Holy Spirit. What does it mean to live by the Holy Spirit? To live by the Holy Spirit is to live in the gift of God. The greatest gift God has given us is sending His Son to die on the cross and sending His Holy Spirit to live within us. Even though we're not perfect, even though we fail, even though we sometimes are not up for the fight, He still lives within us. He still promises to equip us. See, He calls us to live by the Spirit, and He will equip us for every challenge. If you're experiencing fear in your life today, there's something that you need to do and you're finding it so hard to do, know that you will only become courageous as you ask God for courage. In your natural personality, you may have no boldness whatsoever. You may be the most timid person on the earth, but God is calling you to do something courageous. And the amazing thing is, you will do it in the power of His Spirit. The Bible is full of people like you and me. The real test is whether are we willing to be led? And it kind of goes with this humility word. If we think that we're doing all the stuff and it's all about us, we'll find it hard to be led by the Spirit. If we're willing to be humble enough to say, Lord, it's not all about me, it's all about you. That means that my plans may change. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps if the man is willing to be led. But if the man is not willing to be led, or the woman is not willing to be led, they will get stuck. You see, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Is Jesus speaking to you today? Honor him. with the next step. Don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. He died that you may be changed. But you can only be changed if you take a step of faith and obedience and do what you know is right and trust him for the rest. Are you willing to be led by the shepherd today? Are you willing to trust him with a future that will look different? It will look better because God's fullness will fill every day. And what you think are losses are nothing compared to the blessing that will come. Because whatever the losses are, you need to divide them by the number of years that you will be on this earth. And because you have been given eternal life, that's a lot of years. So divide these losses by the number of years that you will be in friendship with Jesus. And the sufferings of this present life are nothing compared to the glory that awaits. The decision you make today in response to God's word will affect your future. The question is whether you're going to reap to the sinful nature or reap to the Spirit. Why am I speaking about conflict resolution? It's because the context of Galatians 5 is conflict in the church. And I'm not going to go into what it's all about, but read it for yourself. The clue is in verse 26. Let us not become conceited. Humility is the beginning of change. Let's not become conceited. Let's not provoke one another. Let's not be jealous of one another. This is not just an individual issue. It's an issue between people. And what's the future going to look like? Is it going to look like verses 19 and 20? Or is it going to look like verses 22? Is it going to look like all that anger and bitterness and selfishness? Or is it going to look like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? You're here today, you don't know Jesus yet. Do you want a life of love, joy, and peace? The love of Christ is not the love of this world. It's not a love to get something back in return. It's a love freely offered to you. He died for you. There is no greater love than the love which lays down its life for another. God's Son laid down his life for you. And if you embrace him by faith today, he will not only forgive you, but he will make you into a wonderful person who will bless so many people. On your funeral, they will not say, they will not list your achievements, they will list what kind of person you are. At funerals, the list of achievements is only wonderful if it's done to the glory of God. And I trust that at each of our funerals, we will celebrate the things that God was able to do through us and for his glory. But if it's just about us and selfish ambition, it'll be a small part of the funeral. But what people will talk about when the dust settles is, what kind of people were we? What kind of life did we live? And what impact did we have on others? And we want to reap for others to come into a relationship with God, for others to be set free, for others to be restored, for others to have lives of love, joy, and peace. And that's going to happen. That's going to happen because God's Spirit is here in this church. God's Spirit is in you. He's doing it already, and he wants to do it more and more and more. And my plea today is that don't allow your gifts, your abilities, your experience to be the limit of what God's going to do in the future. Because he and you together, in the power of his Holy Spirit, has got so much more. Great things has he got in store for you. Things beyond your imagining. He's able to do immeasurably more than all you would ask or imagine. So as you go home this afternoon, you might want to think about these questions. Which of the works of the sinful nature are not only dragging you down, but they've been dragging you down for a long time and you want to break free? They're like addictions. Today, I hope you know that there isn't just this problem I'm dealing with, but there's a spiritual reality. There's a spiritual war going on in your heart, and God has won that war. Will you take him as your general today to lead you forward? Do you hunger for God's help to live a life of love and joy and peace? Do you long for that better life which comes through being filled with the Holy Spirit? And if you don't know Jesus today, begin by asking him for forgiveness. Begin by saying, yeah, I'm wrong to live my life as if you didn't exist. I'm wrong to live my life in the opposite way from you, and I'm sorry. And I believe that you came and you died for me, and I thank you, and I trust in what you've done, and I receive your forgiveness. And I ask you now to lead me into the future and to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Would you do that today? Would you ask him into your life today? And ask him specifically, not just for one aspect, but ask him for it all, because he knows what we need even before we ask. We don't even have to get caught up in too many words. We just ask him for his Spirit. So let's just take a moment to do that now as we finish. I want to give an opportunity for anyone here today who doesn't yet know Christ. Perhaps you know a lot about Christ. Maybe you've been to church before. But you don't know this reality that I'm talking about. You don't know what it is to have a personal trust in God. You don't know what it is to have God's presence within you. I want that to change for you today if you will take his hand. We're going to pray, sorry, thank you, please. Sorry for the things I've done wrong. Thank you for dying on the cross, and please come into my life. So if you want to pray that prayer, just repeat the words after me in the silence of your heart, and God will hear you. I'm sorry, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. I'm prepared to admit today that I've been living in a wrong way. I now turn from everything I know to be wrong. I'm sorry for what my sins have done. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I believe you. I believe you died for me. I receive your forgiveness. Please come into my life today and make me a new person. Lead me for the rest of my life. If you've prayed that prayer, God has already entered your heart. You are being filled with God's Spirit. And now we pray for all of us here today. Thank you that you have won the victory on the cross. Thank you that you have defeated Satan. Thank you that your power within us is greater than that which stands against us. And we fully rely on you today. And we simply say, come and lead us, Holy Spirit. We've heard your voice, and we follow in trust. We pray for power, the power that rose Jesus from the dead, to fill us now. Fill us, Lord. And set us free from self. And set us free to love others. We pray that you would send us out with a concern for the other, to get alongside those in need, to share words of life, to bring deeds of love. Empower us, Lord, and send us out this week to be salt and light in the workplace, in the home, in the school, in the community. Fill us, Lord, and send us out. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.